stand with me as we read our scripture this evening. I'm reading from the book of Romans, chapter 8. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. Not power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Would you pray with me? Almighty God, as we take a moment to reflect on the words of your servant Paul, we ask that you guide us through your scriptures, and you use your spirit in this place to speak to each of us about how these words affect our lives. And Lord, this evening, as I prepare to finish talking about my own journey, I ask that my life may be a way to help others draw closer to you. I pray these things to your glory and honor. Amen. You may be seated. So as I close out this path we've been on, of sharing kind of where I've been the past 6 months, how God has grown my life, I figured it was best to talk about the future, because reality is we have no idea what the future holds. So what better way to end than with the unknown? So I was thinking about all of this, and it kind of made me realize, you know, there's three types of people in the world. There is the person who makes a really detailed plan for the future. There is the person who does nothing but worry and fret about the future. And there is the person that cares less with what the future brings and just says, I'll worry about that later. That's the Scarlett O'Hara, right? Oh, we'll deal with that tomorrow. You have the person like me who makes a plan, who has a plan, and yet then the plan is thrown out the window. You have a person who never prepares a plan in their life and seems to always run around frantic because they don't have a plan but knows things are going to happen and they're not ready. And then the person who has no care in the world. Usually you're not married to the person that's like you, and you go insane all the time. Now, you see this in lots of ways. For example, when you go on a trip, okay, I am going to Montgomery with all the other pastors tomorrow. We have a big pastors conference that we go to every year in Montgomery. Every year we go the first week of June, and every year that I go, my husband is always out of town the same week. I started packing a week ago. Almost always, when my husband goes out of town, he's packing the night before. Almost always. I start asking a week in advance, I'm going to the grocery store, do you need anything? You're going on your trip, would you like anything? Would you like snacks? I'm good, and there it is, midnight, and he is running to Walmart. Okay, this is personality three, mixed with a little two, right? He's forced to prepare, but he doesn't think about it till last minute. Okay. The reason I bring this up is because I have a plan. I don't always know the details of the plan, but there is one concrete thing I know in my plan. Whatever life brings me, God is in it. God is in my future, even if I don't know what my future is. And what life has taught me is I have a plan for tomorrow and next week and next month, and I may even have a plan for next year. And it's gonna change again and again and again. And the one constant in my life is I will replan my life again and again and again and again. And all of you that aren't planners go, Faith, that's why I don't make a plan. But what I do know is that God is always in the future. No matter what happens in my life, he is there with me. No matter what goes awry, he is with me. No matter what goes good, he is with me. Every step I take, he is with me. So when we worry about things, what we forget is that The unknown is the scary part. The fact that God is there is the assurance. I love this passage in Romans, because last week I talked about how we know that God can redeem everything in our life. And to me, this is one of the many passages in scriptures that proves it to us. Romans 8, and I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Nothing that I could ever do, no decision I could ever make, nothing I could ever say, no plan that I could ever make and mess up. Nothing that I do in my life or anyone does to me or situation I get stuck in or a decision that a church makes or a job that I get trapped in or something my boss makes me do or a family that is going crazy. We feel like that sometimes, right? That our families are going a little crazy. None of those things, nothing can separate us from God's love. No argument or action or wrongdoing, belief, nothing. Once we are in love with God and God is got a hold of us, we can't do anything to separate us from the love of God. I mean, it goes on in 38. Let's say death or life or angels or demons or fears or today's worries. For all the worriers, not even worry. Or the power of hell can separate us from God's love. What that means is no matter what we do, God keeps loving us. Even if we don't love him back. That means that every person in this world that is walking on this planet right now is loved by God, even if they don't know who he is yet, because he created them with the intention of wanting a relationship with them. They just haven't yet met him for some of them. Have you thought about that? I mean, really, truly thought about every person walking on this planet. That God is looking at them, just longing for them to know him and have a relationship with him and get connected with them. And they look at their lives and they worry about the future and they're trying to make plans with the unknown and they don't know what's happening in their lives many times. And they struggle with the human condition, which is to control what we can because life is uncontrollable. And God is the ultimate father that just looks at all of his creation and just wants so much to have that relationship. The reason I've been thinking about so much of this is because my future is so unknown. You know, I shared again last week with the fact that I've been working on dealing with the fact that I don't know how long it'll take me to get 100% recovered. And I deal with the fact that my injuries are invisible. And that's frustrating because I look 100% normal, which is relative because I'm not normal. Normal compared to average people, I guess. I don't know what normal is, but I mean, I look fine, right? Like sometimes I wish I could have broken a shoulder or like maimed my leg or something, because then I would have looked injured. You know, if I broke a leg, they can measure that, right? You can go to a physical therapist and they use those little, I don't know what they are, those little things where they measure how much your leg can move. They have a number they can apply. They don't do that with the brain. They can't give you a plan to work out. But what I've learned through my injury is how to relate to people who have invisible injuries, which is a large portion of our society. I have a new understanding. I have a new understanding of what it means to rely on other people. I have a new understanding of what it means to get a deeper understanding of myself, which is hard. But even more so, I have a better understanding of how self-reflection helps me grow deeper to me, because I spend a lot of time now reflecting in my brain, like, was I being as productive today as I should have been, or should I have been resting here? Because see, I have to watch my activity and figure out where I get proper rest, so I reflect a lot. The funny thing, and if I told this story, I'm sorry, I forgot, it happens sometimes. About 2-3 months before my accident, I was at the gym with my personal trainer. And my personal trainer had surgery and he couldn't lift anything. Like he couldn't even lift a 5-pound weight. We're having this conversation, and he was saying how weird it was for him to not be able to do anything physical. He's like, I've been in sports ever since I was a kid. My entire life has been physical activity. I'm a bodybuilder. I do all these things. This is the weirdest thing in the world to not have my physical self working. And I looked at Ben and I chuckled. I said, that would be really weird. I said, you know, I've never been an athletic person ever. I'm coordinationally challenged. I have very little hand-eye coordination. And I said, but my whole life has been around my brain. Like, I've been very academic. I was struggled in school with books, but I was always very bright, even though school was hard. I said, my whole career is around thinking. I said, I don't know what I would do if something happened to my brain. Irony, right? It's like God is reminding me of all these things, and that what we have to do in our future reflects on who we are now. And he's taught me that my life story teaches me how to rely on him and connect with people deeper. And my whole life has been this way. I reflect on everything in my life and all the mistakes that I've made in my spiritual journey and all these things about how I grow as a person, and it helps me connect more with people. Because now when I look at our military and to our senior adults that are losing their memory and to people who have struggled with PTSD, did you know a concussion is a traumatic brain injury? That I can relate to people in ways I never used to be able to do. And I share all this with you because when Paul speaks out of this passage, I know that God is with me, even though I don't know what's ahead of me. Because in verse 39, when he says, in all of creation, nothing separates us from God. Even my brain can't separate me from God. Now that's something, isn't it? Because everything that we can touch is creation, right? I am part of creation. I go back to that image of all the people in creation that God wants to know and to love. And I think about my own story over my course of my life. And I'm just one person that has a story with God. And the reason I bring this up is because we each have stories like mine. The reason that I felt God wanted me to share this story and how I've grown and learned and connected with people off what God did with me is because we all have stories. God's used all of us in our own testimonies, and we don't even realize. We don't even realize what he's done oftentimes because we haven't taken the time to stop and reflect back. And many times I hear people say, I don't know how to do that because I'm not a person that's a pastor. When I was a sophomore in college, I knew God wanted me to go into full-time vocational ministry. But before that, I didn't want to do a single thing related to the church. I wanted nothing to do with the church at all. I was going the opposite direction. I wanted to be in business. I wanted to go and be in the business world completely the other way. What God puts us in has to do with where he wants us to be. And being whatever job you have is where God wants you. And the reason I say that is because you, each of you, have a group of people you connect with every day because of the job that you work. Whether you work a desk job or you work a job that's outside with your hands, or whether you are a person that helps take care of your family and you coordinate with other people that take care of families. Whatever you connect with are people that you now interact that you can share your stories with. And the reason I say this is because we have something that nobody else has. We have a connection with the Creator who loves us more than anybody else. A couple weeks ago, I did an event out at the chamber, and I was trying to tell people about the church. And somebody from our church walked up and asked me out of a joke. He said, hey, what you selling? Because everybody's selling stuff, right? And I kind of laughed. I said, well, I guess I'm selling Jesus. We don't sell Jesus, do we? Because he's free. It's the one best free gift you can get in the whole world. But But at the same time, there's very little people buying him. And that's because they don't know him. So this is what I want to challenge you guys to do. And I want you to do it because in just a second, we're going to come to the communion table. And I want you to think about when we come to communion, what this really means to us and what it means to our community. But before we do that, we can go ahead and put up the next slide. I want you to take out your phones for a second and take a picture. I mean it, take out your phones. It's homework. And take a picture, because this is my contact information. And what I want you to do is I want you to spend the next couple weeks and pray about if you think that you have something in your life that God can use you, just like God's used all the things I've talked about in my life. And this is just one section of my life. This is the past 6 months, right? I spent 5 weeks sharing with you guys from 6 months of my life. But how you can at least communicate with the people you work with, or that you play football or board games or video games, or that you hang out at the movies with, or whatever, your people. If you have people around you, I want to at least help you figure out how to do that, because see, most people don't know how to have those conversations. This is what I love to do. But I don't want you to make a decision now. I want you to pray about it. And if you're interested in it, then we will have a conversation about it, just what it means, and if you want to step further. You don't have to make a commitment. So I'm giving you my info so that later you can contact me. And if you notice, you can text me, or you can call me, or you can email me, or whatever you're comfortable with. Because this is the best product in the world. We have the best thing to offer people. We are offering them grace and love and forgiveness and acceptance. We are offering them a love that never ends. We are giving them the fact that they come to this place, not this church, but this place, to the Lord's table, to the Lord's presence, and they are accepted for who they are 100%, not having to be anybody else. That's every one of you in this room are here as you, not as the person you're trying to be, but the person you are in this moment. And God sees you 100% for who you are, and he says, I love you, I accept you, and nothing stops me from that. And he wants to give that to everybody. So I want you to reflect on that as we finish out the service and think about, is there a way God can use you to bring that gift to that product, right? We talk about in marketing that you're sharing a product with people, and there's no product in the world better than the love of God. Next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday, which makes it 40 days since Easter. It's hard to believe it's been that long now since we celebrated Easter. That it's been that long since we celebrated Christ's death and his resurrection. But this table is that symbol every time we come to it, that Christ did give himself up for us, and he did allow himself to be broken for us. And as he sat with the disciples and he blessed the bread and he broke it and he told them that he was going to give himself up. And we continue that tradition. We keep sharing the good news of what he's done. And as he shared the cup and he said, this is the cup of my blood, he said, I will continue to wash sins for all people. And we continue to share that good news today. Would you pray with me? Almighty God, we ask you to show us, what does it mean to be loved truly and unconditionally by you? What does it mean to share your love with others? What does it mean to be found? We ask you to send your presence upon us in this room and upon these things, and let us to experience that love fully. To let us feel what it means that you are with us no matter what in the unknown, so that we can walk with you and we can be with you to the very end, whatever that end looks like. We pray these things in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to sing. It's a very old, old tradition of the Methodist Church to sing what we believe at the communion table. And we're going to sing a song about being found by God. So I want invite you to stand. Or if you'd like to pray, you can. I want you to use this time as a singing and praying and moment. But think about these words of the song and think about what this table means to us. And when we're done with the song, we'll come and receive the elements.